Have you seen the price of gold lately? It's hitting all-time highs. And when it comes to investing in gold, check out Noble Gold Investments. They have a track record of excellence that's second to none. Just look at their thousands of five-star reviews on Trustpilot, Google, and the Better Business Bureau. Customers rave about their knowledgeable staff, smooth investment process, and life-changing results, which you can see for yourself online. That's the kind of reputation you can count on. But it's not just about the reviews. Noble Gold Investments truly care about their clients. They take the time to understand your unique needs and goals, and they give expert guidance every step of the way. That level of personalized service is rare in this industry. Look, when it comes to securing your financial future, you can't afford to take chances. Go with the gold company that has earned the trust of countless investors. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Tim Pool today and discover why Noble Gold Investments is the only choice for smart, secure gold investments. Or give them a call at 877-646-5347. Again, that number is 877-646-5347. Make sure to head over to timcast.com, click join us, and become a member to support our work directly, because this show is made possible thanks in part to viewers like you. If you like the work we do, become a member, and you'll also get access to uncensored, members-only shows from Timcast IRL, Monday through Thursday at 10 p.m. You can also join our Discord server and talk with like-minded individuals. Now, let's get into that first story. The latest conspiracy theory is dropped. I'm all on board. Let's see, what are they talking about? New cancer diagnoses expected to hit record high this year. Whoa! What's all that about? What's causing all of this cancer? Record high this year? Okay, I'm not all about this conspiracy anymore. I'm getting worried. What are you conspiracizing? Ah, yes. False claim. COVID-19 vaccines are linked to spike in cancer cases. Fact check. Well, they've already fact checked it. They say it's false. Vaccines are not causing cancer. And a lot of people think that's the case. Far be it from me to tell you, I am not a doctor nor a scientist. But I can tell you why people think that. Because there's a record high in cancers. And we did one anomalous thing over the past few years, and that was mass vaccination. That being said, guys, I really don't believe that the vaccine was a time-release cancer maker. Again, far be it from me. I'm not a scientist, so I literally have no idea. But it just kind of seems far-fetched to think that in 2021 and 22, they pushed this mass vaccination, which everyone gets, and there's like a time delay in vaccination that results in cancer 2 years later. They're saying it's going to hit a record high this year. So we're really looking at like 2 years after the spike of mass vaccination. There's a million and one conspiracies about this. And I can only really tell you that like people are going to choose to believe whatever they want to believe. And I think the best advice I can give you is personal trainer, nutritionist. Usually, I think a good personal trainer can help you with general nutrition stuff, like macros, perhaps, not telling you what to eat, when to eat it. Find a good doctor you know and trust that is up to date on all this stuff. I just put the disclaimer out there. I wish I could tell you definitively that something was true. Because if I could come out here ranting and raving about how we know there's a conspiracy, I'd get way more views. But the reality is, man, I don't know what to tell you. Other than, there's real concern about what's happening with a spike in cancer rates. More and more people are starting to report tumors, and there's a good question of why is this happening? Naturally, many people, as people do, look for patterns. And the only apparent pattern to them is, why would cancer skyrocket? Okay, what could be the cause? People will immediately jump to, we did a mass vaccination program, and that may be the culprit. Far be it from me, again, to assert, because I have no idea. USA is actually saying, and I got to be honest, I think this is correct. False claim. They don't need to say false claim. All right, that's how you know it's loaded. Because they could literally just say, claim, COVID-19 vaccines cause a link to a spike in cancer cases. Fact check. They could have just called that and then got to the bottom and say, there's no evidence that's the case. I think it's fair to say there is no evidence that's the case. I certainly think it's fair if you want to speculate, by all means, this is how you start a hypothesis. But I strongly do recommend this, as I've said in all of these stories going back years. People complain about doctors. They're like, these doctors are recommending bad things. And I'm like, second opinion has been a thing forever. Like, it is a normal thing to seek out second opinions when you are getting medical advice. There are other doctors. I recommend you go to a place like good old West Virginia or somewhere that's deep red and talk to a doctor there if you're concerned about a doctor who doesn't know what's what. If you have like a political issue, okay, then find a doctor who agrees with you politically and see what they say about it. Take your advice from them. Axios reports, wow, take a look at this. Holy smokes. New cancer diagnoses in the U.S. are expected to top 2 million for the first time in 2024, driven in large part by an alarming increase in cancers among younger Americans. Why are young people getting cancer? There have been major improvements in cancer survival, but there's a worrying rise in some cancers at the same time. Doctors are trying to figure out why they're seeing more young patients with cancer. What they're saying. This demographic shift comes with psychological, physical, and financial burdens that are less common with older patients. Patients under 50 are more likely to be uninsured, juggling career and caregiving responsibilities, and face a higher lifetime risk of treatment-related side effects like second cancers. I got a theory for you. COVID causes cancer. Which is also spike protein, I guess. But here's what I'm saying. I don't know, but there's two potential conspiracy theories. And I wonder why it is people always jump to the vaccine one. Here's a conspiracy theory for you. Dr. Fauci with EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak engaged in gain-of-function research that created this virus at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. And that virus was leaked on accident and started to spread rapidly around the world, sparking panic among those who were working on the gain-of-function research, knowing that they were going to be held responsible. They were in serious-ish and worst-case scenario. It could cause major traumatic side effects beyond just, what do they call it, like the white lung or whatever? Here's my point. A lot of people want to say it's the vaccine causing it, but I'm kind of like, couldn't it be equally conspiracy that the gain-of-function research made a virus that causes all of these things, including cancers? I don't know. I'm just saying, like, why jump to vaccines right away? It also then follows that they panicked and desperately begged everyone to get vaccines because they knew the virus they'd accidentally released and made was going to start killing people. But again, I'm not saying that's true either. I literally don't know. They say it's overwhelming for anybody, but especially for these younger patients who are going out their daily lives and they suddenly get this life-altering diagnosis and really don't know where to turn. Many feel alone because they're younger, they're friends. Many haven't had to deal with this. The proportion of people 65 and older diagnosed with cancer dropped from 61 to 58 in the last 30 years, even as the size of that group increased. The proportion of those diagnosed between ages 50 and 64 was largely stable. Notably, people aged younger than 50 were the only one of these three age groups to experience an increase in overall cancer incidence during the same time period. Doctors don't know exactly what's behind the uptick in new cases and deaths among younger patients in many cases. The leading cause of cancer death in men under 50 and the second leading cause of cancer death in women under 50 have been declining among adults 65 and older. They've increased 1-2% annually in people younger than 55 since the 90s. Colorectal cancers are also presenting with more aggressive disease and large tumors at diagnosis. Researchers are examining whether long-term factors like consumption of red meat and or ultra-processed foods, medication and vitamin use, and obesity are contributing to the shift. I got to be honest, guys. I'm going to go ahead and say obesity. They're like, cancer is going to skyrocket. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't think COVID. I don't think vaccines. Maybe, but I don't know. I'm not a scientist or a doctor, but I don't think so. The reason why is it's been 2 years. What I do think? Tons of people developed really bad habits. They were locked inside. They didn't exercise. They don't exercise. They weren't getting vitamin D. They're eating garbage. Obesity is getting worse. We know that this is a leading cause of cancer. My recommendation? You know, I hired a personal trainer recently, and it's fantastic. The thing, you know, I always thought to myself, like, if you have willpower, you need not a trainer. And that's technically true. And there's a lot of people who have that capability because they're driven. The thing is, for me, my physical activity drive is skateboarding. Why? I really find it boring. It's like, I'm going to lift 10 times. I'm like, doing skateboarding, it's like, man, what if I could do this trick? What if I could do this maneuver I've never done before? That would be cool. And then I could show everybody, hey, everybody, look at me, right? I'm half kidding. But it really is like, hey, look, I accomplished something today. Dopamine hit. And that could be true and is true for a lot of people who lift and they get that new benchmark. They're like, I lifted more than I've ever lifted. I got more reps in. But a lot of it is tedious. I enjoy jumping. There's no upper body involved. So I get a personal trainer. Actually, he's been working here for some time with other people. And I was like, count me on board. You know why? because now you've got basically this instruction. So you're doing it better. You're doing it right. It's more efficient. But more importantly, it's that push to do one more that you don't get when you're like, maybe I should just start working out. So now you've got someone who's like, do the 10 reps. And then once you're done, they go, nope, two more. And you're like, no. Oh, and then like, come on. You got to do it. That I really, really enjoy. But I think a lot of people, at the very least, you can download apps like, which one am I using? It's an awesome app. It's MyFitnessPal. And you type in how old you are, how much you weigh, how much activity you engage in, how much you want to weigh, and it will actually tell you how much to eat every day to hit your target weight. It's awesome. And so I'm actually eating a whole bunch of stuff I've never, was not eating for a long time, being tracked way better. I feel better. Cut out the bread. I think the gluten really messed me up. So I'm eating a lot of rice. Today I made mochi. That's what I've been doing for breakfast. It's fantastic. But anyway, it's got things in the app where it's like, hey, why don't you do some exercises? And I think it's in the app. Like, I think it has exercises in here. Or am I thinking a different app? Plans. Yep. Yeah, I think it's, yep. It costs money, don't get me wrong. But it's got like food plan and like basic workout stuff. I wouldn't call it like, having a trainer is a lot easier. I'm not saying everyone can afford it. But they have apps and stuff where it can help you. I certainly think having that person there cheer you on is huge. That's why gyms really are great. It's unfortunate people sign up for gyms and then don't go to them. But this is the real issue, my friends. I don't think, I'll put it this way. Whether or not you think the big issue is going to be vaccines or whatever it is you might think, I think you go talk to a doctor, a good one, and they're going to say, exercise, eat healthy, follow the fitness plan. And that solves most of your problems. A lot of people are sedentary. They get weak muscle groups, results in pain across the body. It's crazy because like you might have pain in your leg and you're like, my leg hurts. And they go, it's your back. And you're like, what? But my leg hurts. I'm like, it's your back. Or it could be your back. And they're like, it's your leg. Because like you could have a weak muscle group. And so your body compensates by using different muscles. And so you're like, why is my back hurting? And they're like, it's because your leg is too weak. So when you walk, your back muscles are compensating, strengthen your leg, things like that. It's surprising too. Like I was reading, because I had that hip problem last year. And I was reading that often it could be caused by glutes and by abs. And you think it's your hip, but it's not. Now that actually wasn't my issue because skateboarding is all legs and all abs and no upper body. So I need to start lifting. But what I think was hitting me was bread. I think bread was causing inflammation. Seriously. When I started the personal trainer, he's like, eat more carbs. I said, I'll do whatever you say. Like, I'm gonna do this. And so we made a bunch of bread. I ate a bunch of bread. And then all of a sudden I felt worse than ever. All of my joints, I was like, ugh. And then I looked it up, joint pain. And one of the things was gluten sensitivity or celiacs. And I was like, no more bread. Cut out all the bread, replaced the carbs with rice flour. Felt great. So I'm hoping that's the issue, you know, hoping that was it. And then I had a couple of personal trainers, different ones say, yeah, they've heard that people get joint inflammation and stuff from gluten, even if they're not known to be celiacs or whatever. So, you know, do what you got to do. Let me wrap this up because I don't want to just rant all day. But ultimately, I think this, a lot of people want to scapegoat. It's easy to say, well, we did a mass vaccination, so I think therefore, and that, I'm not saying it's wrong to hypothesize. I think it's a good thing to hypothesize and explore. And then if we're right or wrong, we figure it out. And maybe it's right. I don't know. My point ultimately is this. Yo, dude, people became sedentary. They stopped exercising. They locked themselves in their house. This is going to lead to sickness, obesity, increased mortality. And I'm not surprised to hear that a couple years on, people who have adopted really bad habits and have gained a bunch of weight are now getting sick. I just want all of you, I'll tell you this. You want to win a culture war? Get healthy. You know, it's really wild. These personal training sessions, they're 45 minutes long. It's like 45 minutes to an hour. It's like we do warm-ups and then we do 45 minutes. It's over before I know it. And I'm like, we only did like four workouts. And it's like, yep. And it's like lifting various workouts each day. Monday, we do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then we're even doing Thursdays company-wide. Everyone's allowed to come in and jump onto the program. Super cool. Because I want people to be healthy. And I'm willing to pay for it if people are willing to do it. I think everyone should do it. And then we're going to do like some athletic game or something a year later and see how much people have improved. But I think getting people in shape, it's the most important way. Look, imagine this. The culture war 2 years on, Let's say, how about this? How about this? I challenge you to do the best you can. There was this kid who made a video where he was like every day adding one pushup until I do 100. And he did it. And I'm like, man, that's based AF. This little chubby kid. And then it ends with him doing 100 pushups, not all at once. He had to rest in between. But that doesn't matter. From being able to do very few to getting 100 pushups in a day. There you go. I've been doing that on my Fridays because I don't have a trainer on Friday. So I just, what you do is every time you have time, you just do 10 pushups. Just start exercising. How about this? By election day, how many of you can get in shape? I'm not saying become He-Man or anything like that. I'm saying just get in shape, be better. Let's reduce the sickliness of the people who agree with our values. Let's put our money where our mouth is and say personal responsibility matters, and we are going to take responsibility for our bodies to get in shape so that we don't get hit by these sicknesses. Let's take that responsibility today. That's what I did. Now going on like a month ago when I said, I haven't been doing any upper body. I've been doing any lifting and I know I'm wrong for doing it. And I felt like I got a responsibility. You know, I started eating better. I skate all the time. I'm physically active. But a couple of years ago, I was 200 pounds. And I'm like, I have a responsibility to do better. I should actually take care of myself. And then in the past month, I was like, how am I going to sit here and talk about personal responsibility and taking care of yourself? And I don't even lift. Because it is extremely important for men, especially as you're getting older. At 38, I'm late in the game. You should be lifting in your teens. You should be lifting your whole life. Take time out of the week to lift just a little bit. You only need to do like a half an hour a day. Easier said than done. I know. But I felt like I have an obligation. If I'm going to be telling you we're supposed to be responsible, how can I sit here with this weak upper body, get great legs, can jump super high? But what about lifting? And I know I'm like, I know I'm doing bad. I know I'm supposed to be being responsible for this. So I said, okay, I'm gonna. It would be morally wrong of me to not take care of myself. So that's the way I see it right now. Cancer diagnoses, let's counter this. Let's make it by November. All these Trump supporters are walking to the ballot and they're all just super ripped. Think about how funny that would be if like every single Trump supporter, even like the old guys, they're like, the camera crews are like outside the polling stations, and they're like, for some reason, everyone coming in here that's super ripped, we've asked, they're voting for Trump. It's like, well, yeah, you know, we decided to get in shape. Do it for yourself. Don't do it for anybody else. I think that's a good challenge, though. Can we get that going somehow? We had Dan Ball on earlier in the week, and he's talking about how he gets in exercise every time he can, because when you're getting older, you have to do it. It's harder and harder to maintain. But if you maintain that, it's harder and harder to maintain in that. When you're young, it's easy to put on muscle. When you're older, it's harder. But if you have the same plan and the same schedule, if you build that lifestyle around taking time out to exercise, you maintain that into an older age and it will keep you stronger and healthier. And that means if you want to be around to make sure this country succeeds and survives, it's not just about culture, it's about health and fitness. That's one of the most important things. That's why they keep running these stories where they say things like, working out is a gateway to becoming right wing. Sure, taking responsibility, feeling good about your accomplishments and understanding that you put in hard work and you earned it and you have a right to the rewards that come with that. I recommend it. Let's get to it. I'm going to leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out and I'll see you all then. To be completely honest, I don't know that there is anything politically the Democrats can do to prevent a Donald Trump victory moving forward. I say politically, because certainly there are sneaky, underhanded tactics, criminal trials, civil claims, seizure of assets, things like that. That's cheating. There are other things they can do, like, you know, ballot harvesting and things like that. We recently got word that Scott Pressler will be assisting the RNC's efforts, I believe leading the efforts for legal ballot harvesting, which is brilliant. And Scott Pressler is one of the most effective political campaigners we've seen. Probably he's probably the most effective of this generation. The reason why I say there's nothing they can do politically. Well, for one thing, we're not seeing them try anything politically. It all seems to be extra electoral activities, we can call it. But this news from earlier in the week, U.S. economy faces 1970 style stagflation as inflation sticks around. They keep trying to claim that Joe Biden's doing great. There was this one video where it was like Joe Biden's quietly having a great presidency. And I'm just like, who are these people to make this claim? You know, people are not doing well right now. Food costs are through the roof. The divide between the haves and have-nots is only getting worse. 1970-style stagflation, if that is to occur, and if we do see a market crash, as we're getting some predictions now, take a look at this from Business Insider. We are still in a market bubble. A famed economist who called the 2008 recession warns the S&P 500 is as vulnerable as it was before. It's 25% fall in 2022, and fall in 2022, and shares three signs of hidden weaknesses. Yo, if we get 1970s levels of stagflation, that precipitated Ronald Reagan's landslide victory. I don't know what that means for Trump, because they're taking these extra legal means to try and defeat him. My friends, I say to you now, what we are witnessing in the political arena with the attacks against Donald Trump, it's not only unprecedented. This is truly, I believe, could be the most historic election this country will ever see. We don't know yet, and I could be wrong, but I believe it will be, though it's not yet. What I mean is, you know, we can go back in time and think about some pretty serious and important elections, you know, Nixon and Kennedy. And we can think about even the Civil War period, the election of Abraham Lincoln and the consequences. But what we're seeing right now is it's unprecedented and it's quite remarkable, not in a positive way. Criminal charges that are trumped up and clearly ridiculous. Attempts in Congress, they tried to impeach him twice. They accused him of being a traitor to this country. People like to point out, they say, you know, when Abraham Lincoln was running, the Democrats took him off the ballot too. It's not really true. It's like 10% true. What happened back during the Civil War was that parties would issue their own ballots. When you went to vote, you just wrote down the name. That was it. So candidates built name recognition and then hoped people would go out and vote for them. It's probably a better system, mind you. So what would happen is the Democratic Party, they would create a ballot that they would give to everyone who supported the party. And it said, here's our list of people you want to vote for. Basically, if they handed you a piece of paper and said, here are our guys, it was a down ballot vote. You'd say, I signed my name to this. These are all the people that I want. You'd then file that ballot and you'd basically vote Democrat whole ticket. Things changed, and now the states issue ballots where names appear on them and things like that. Republicans did not issue ballots for their party in these Democrat states pre-Civil War because, well, nobody would vote for Abraham Lincoln. He was trying to suspend the expansion of slavery, not end it, suspend it, keep it where it was. Not a single vote was cast for Abraham Lincoln in any of the states that eventually seceded. I believe the original seven, because then four more joined later on. And it wasn't that they took him off the ballot. It's that there was fear that if you were seen with a Republican ballot in those states, they would beat the crap out of you. You'd be shunned or ostracized. And so they said, what's the point? They ended up winning an election, excluding those states outright. Now, while many people say they took Lincoln off the ballot, it's not the case. There is a similarity. As they tried to take Trump off the ballot in numerous states recently, and the Supreme Court said, no way, unanimously. Geez, 9-0. What would end up happening, and what may still end up happening, is you get a similar scenario where Trump wins the election, securing only the deep red states, and all of the blue states go overwhelmingly against him. It's hard to know for sure. But the reason why I think this is one of the most remarkable and historic, and may turn out to end up be the most historic, is what happens afterwards. Never before, not even with Abraham Lincoln, did we see the attempt to strip him of his assets, steal his money, targeting his children, trying to put him and his lawyers in prison. Don't forget, they went after Trump's lawyers for simply being his lawyers. What did they say? They said racketeering. If you're a lawyer doing your constitutional duty to defend a man who's been accused, you're in racketeering. We're going to lock you up. And what happened? Some of the lawyers dropped to their knees and begged, please spare me. I'll say anything you want. And they got Was it Jenna Ellis crying? I'm sorry, Trump made me do it. Remarkable. Stagflation, baby. Well, let's talk about stagflation. The U.S. economy is sinking into a 1970s-style dilemma where inflation sticks around, but the economy cools. And investors are ignoring it at their own peril, according to a top equity strategist at Bank of America. Signs the U.S. economy is flipping from Goldilocks to stagflation have multiplied recently, according to Michael Hartnett. The shift could have serious ramifications for the stock market that many investors aren't taking seriously yet. Well, let me break down stagnant inflation for you guys, because they're not giving us a good breakdown. Stagflation is the simultaneous appearance in an economy of slow growth, high unemployment, and rising prices. That is, the economy actually is totally stagnant. People aren't working, there's no new opportunities, but the costs are still going up. That's as bad as it gets. Once thought by economists to be impossible, stagflation has occurred repeatedly in the developed world since the 1970s. Policy solutions for slow growth tend to worsen inflation and vice versa. And I think the obvious reason for it, military-industrial complex spending. You're not going to get any new jobs. You're just going to maintain the ones you already have, but you're pumping massive amounts of money printed, created digitally into the system, which results in prices going up. More importantly, the mass influx of illegal immigrants. It's no surprise. They go on to say, they do define it. Stagflation refers to simultaneously elevated inflation and weak economic growth, which bedeviled the U.S. for most of the 70s into the 80s. Goldilocks refers to when an economy is growing at a moderate pace that's not hot enough to stoke inflation. That's great. Earlier this week, investors digested two hotter than expected inflation reports. Consumer prices rose at a rate of 3.2% over the last 12 months, and the rate could accelerate to 3.6 by June. Traders are currently pricing in more than 50% probability that the Federal Reserve will cut interest rates in June for the first time since it began raising them in March 2022. And here's the worst part. If they cut interest rates, it's not going to solve the problem. It will change the problem. You need high interest rates to stop these things. You need to tell people, spend money. Stop putting it away. High interest rates. Let me slow down. I'm not an economic expert. When you lower the interest rates, you're basically, or I'm sorry, I have it backwards. When you lower the interest rates, you're basically saying you're better off investing elsewhere. When you raise the interest rates, you're saying it's pretty good to put your money in savings because you'll get a better return. Putting your money in savings cools things off. Spending slows down. But that means, especially with stagflation, people are going to suffer. They're not going to find growth. They're going to be having a hard go of it because money will not be growing. I could be getting it backwards. The point is, drastic action is needed to actually stop this, but no one wants to do it. Nobody wants to take responsibility for hardship. So instead, it's like pulling the bandaid off quickly. Instead of doing that, they just keep pumping out the money, printing more money, sending it to Ukraine, to Israel. Now we've got looming war with Taiwan and a whole bunch of non-citizens flooding the country. I do not see a scenario politically where the Biden administration can pull out of this one. The only thing they have left is extra electoral criminal action. Unconstitutional, untoward, dishonorable, despicable, and evil. Trump's winning. People like Trump. They want his policies. But the Democrats can't stand to lose. And they are willing to burn this country to the ground to seize power. That's why they have to be defeated this November. Unfortunately, Republicans don't have the same level of zeal. They don't even have the sweet nothings to whisper into our ears. If they came out and said, let the Democrats run amok. They look like disturbed children and we will be the adults in the room. They're not even saying that. They're saying we can't do anything. We're helpless. So what's the end result? I hope Trump pulls through this one because I certainly don't want to live through a period of intense stagflation. But that's where we're headed. I'll leave it there. Next segment is coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. Thanks for hanging out and I'll see you all then.